بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Alhamdulillah, we are gathered again tonight covering some of the 20 core virtues of Islam in this special Ramadan program. And we have covered wakefulness, repentance, remembrance, and reflection and humility. And tonight's virtue we'll be discussing is the virtue of modesty. What is the word for modesty in Arabic? Who knows? Haya. The word for modesty in Arabic is haya, also translated as shyness. And haya, as shyness, modesty, or shame, is one of the core virtues of Islam. In fact, we can say that modesty, out of all of the virtues of Islam, is perhaps the hallmark virtue of Islam. It's the hallmark virtue because it is ideally the one virtue by which Muslims are recognized and set apart from others. There are certain qualities that people and places are known for. What do you call the city of Chicago? What is it known as? The Windy City. When you hear the state Idaho, what do you think of? Potatoes. When you hear New York, what do you think of? The Big Apple, or the city that never sleeps. So these states or these cities are known for certain qualities. These are the hallmarks of those places. So in religious terms, haya assumes the same position for us as Muslims. It is the hallmark of our deen, of our religion. And this is coming from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, "Inna li kulli deenin khuluqa wa khuluqul Islam al-haya." Every deen, every way has a distinguishing quality. And the distinguishing quality of Islam is modesty. So this is the distinguishing quality we have in our deen. And what that means, if it's our distinguishing quality, it means that when the outside observer looks at a Muslim, ideally they should see in their character a great deal of modesty, a great deal of shyness and positive shame. This is one of the qualities that really animates all of the other virtues that we seek to cultivate as Muslims. So what exactly is haya or modesty? What are its virtues and how do we cultivate it? What does it look like? Haya, we could translate as modesty or shame, or we could say it is a dignified modesty, meaning you carry yourself in a certain way. You have a noble bearing. And this way that you carry yourself is a reflection of this internal quality of modesty that leads you to avoid shameful matters and that leads you to stay away from shameful things and that causes you to observe the rights that are owed to others. When we look in our history and we see how the ulama, the scholars of Islam, have defined this virtue, we see various statements. They all resemble each other. For example, Al-Imam Sayyid al-Sharif al-Jurjani mentions in his Ta'rifat that haya is a kind of, as he calls it in Arabic, al-inqibad, a kind of recoiling away from something that is shameful, avoiding something to escape blame because that thing is blameworthy. One of the early scholars of ethics in the Islamic tradition, Mishkawi, he mentions that haya is a virtue that is actually an aspect of iffah, which is this dignified bearing of temperance where you avoid the extremes of shameful behavior and shameful statements. So really it is an aspect of this cardinal virtue of Islam called iffah. And we talk about modesty or shyness, we may think about the person who is naturally shy or naturally introverted. And this leads us to reflect on the nature of our character. Because we know people are, some are extroverted, some are introverted. There's a spectrum. Some people are very, very outgoing. Others are very, very inward and very shy. This virtue of haya that we're speaking about is not the natural shyness that one may have. You may be naturally introverted, or you may be naturally extroverted, but that haya kesbi, or wahbi rather, the bestowed, the natural shyness you have, is not the virtue we're talking about. We are talking about the acquired modesty, the acquired shame and sense of shyness that one is rewarded for. This is, in other words, if you're naturally shy and introverted, this quality may be easier for you than other virtues. And if you're extroverted, it may be harder for you than other virtues. But where you get the reward from Allah Ta'ala is in the haya kesbi, the modesty that you acquire through cultivating good character. Last night, we were talking about the virtue of humility, tawadu', and we contrasted that virtue with its opposite, that of arrogance. And in many ways, we contrast haya by understanding shameful behavior, or behavior that is immodest. So we can know better about haya by contrasting it with immodesty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew that contrast between the two when he says, "Inna mimma adraka an-nasu min kalam an-nubuwwati al-awwal al-ula idha lam tastahi fasna' ma shit." He said, from the words of the earlier prophets that the people still find are, if you feel no shame, then do as you wish. This is a very famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this is something that's not simply in our deen of Islam, not simply in our religion, but this has been passed down from the earlier prophets. This is a virtue with all of the prophets and messengers across humanity, across time. It is, yes, a distinguishing quality in Islam, but it's not unique to our sharia, our law, our way. It is a fixture within the ways of all of the prophets and messengers of old. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that from the words of prophethood in the past, which continues today, if you do not feel any shame, then do as you wish, what exactly is he getting at? Is he giving us a green light to do whatever we want if we don't feel shame? No, the answer is no. It's not a green light. But the ulama mentioned different ways we can understand this hadith. Some say that this is a threat. They say that it means, if you have no shame, then do as you wish and Allah will deal with you accordingly. If you don't have haya, then you are going to do whatever you want. No one's going to stop you and Allah will deal with you accordingly. If you have no shame, that's what's going to happen. You're going to be a shameless person. And because haya is such an essential quality for us as Muslims, lacking that quality means we will be missing something that keeps us from immorality, lewdness, and degeneracy. In fact, the ulama mention, when they talk about sins and the consequence of sins, they mention the different ill effects that arise due to disobedience to Allah. And they say that among the effects of sin, when you do something unlawful, is that doing that haram has a secondary effect of lessening your haya. So let's say if haya is on a spectrum here, and a person is at this level of haya, if they do something unlawful, something haram, the effect of that act will lessen their haya and they become less modest in how they speak and how they act, and then it becomes almost a vicious circle. Because if the person is now downgraded to a lesser degree of haya, it's more likely that they do something else that is shameful because they have less haya that is preventing them from doing it. And then if they do that thing again, it lessens their haya even more. And then they do more. And then the haya becomes weaker and weaker over time to the point where they stop caring what other people think. And certain, in anthropology, they have this discussion about the distinction between guilt cultures and shame cultures. And I personally find that distinction to be unhelpful because we have positive shame and positive guilt, just as there could be unhealthy shame and unhealthy guilt. We as Muslims, we are supposed to do things for the sake of Allah. But at the same time, We are ordered to preserve our honor, and we are instructed to care what other people think. We should care what good people think about us, not to the point of doing things for their sake to earn their praise, but we should feel shame that keeps us from doing things that lower our respect in the eyes of respectable people. So when a person loses haya, they stop caring about what people think, they're not pained by their criticisms, and eventually, if the person loses all of their haya, they reach a point where they don't just do things that are immoral publicly without caring what other people think. They start to become arrogant about it, and they want you to be happy with their choices. They want you to be pleased with their choices, and they get offended if you don't celebrate their lifestyle. And we see that in the current culture today, where people aren't satisfied with you accepting their lifestyle choices. That's not enough. You can't just say live and let live. They want you to celebrate their lifestyle choices, which are degenerate and lacking all haya. And that's what happens when a person loses that sense of shame. And we see this in the society today. In the not so distant past, here and elsewhere, lifestyles and behaviors that were seen as lewd, degenerate, and immoral, contrary to the fitrah, were carried out in secrecy. There are lots of degenerate behaviors that used to be carried out in secrecy, and now they're not carried out in secrecy anymore. They're done publicly, and now they're being celebrated, and you are expected to be happy with their lifestyle choices. This is all an effect of the lessening of haya in society. And because this is something that existed in the message of all of the prophets and messengers, that means that haya is a fixture in the Jewish tradition and the Christian tradition. It existed. It's a remnant from those original messages that permeated the societies inhabited by people from the Jewish tradition or the Christian tradition. But as people lost or are losing their attachment to those religions, and they seek basically the worship of the nafs, the self, that haya is lost. And now you see, it's not just about acceptance, it's about celebration in the name of celebration of quote unquote diversity. So lewdness becomes normalized and commercialized, and it is put in your face wherever you turn. And the reason why immorality is pushed in society today and put on the billboards, put in the media, put in the music, put online everywhere, why it's put in your face, it is meant to demoralize you. And it is meant to break down your defenses until you give up and even consider it normal, right? This is one of the great harms of being exposed to the haram 24/7 and seeing it, because eventually you get desensitized to it. We've mentioned this before a few times, the example of the person who goes for Hajj or Umrah and Ziyarah, and they're in that Imani environment in Mecca and Medina, and they're really taken away from all of the things they're bombarded with day in and day out here. And when they come back, as soon as they land in JFK or Dulles, wherever, and they start walking into the airport, they're back, and it's back in their face. And it's only then when they get back that they feel that sensitivity revived. Because they were in an Imani environment for a couple of weeks, there's this stark contrast when they return. But give it a two or three weeks later, guess what? You get used to it again, because it's always in your face. And that is done purposely to break down your defenses, to get you to feel that it is normal. So there is a collective effort to remove haya from society. And there is a great risk in losing that haya. And this is the great trick of shaitan, because he wants us to lose our modesty bit by bit until those shameful things are normalized. And after they're normalized, we are indifferent to them. And when we are indifferent to them, we lack even the lowest quality, the weakest quality of faith, which is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran," whoever sees an evil among you, "falyughayyirhu biyadi," let him change it with his hand if he's able to. "Fa in lam yastati' fa bilisanihi," if he's unable, then let him change it with his tongue. Let him say something about it. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. And if he is unable to change it with his hand, by physical change or by his tongue, then let him hate it with his heart. وَذَٰلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That's the weakest part of faith, to just hate it in your heart. So if you are desensitized to degeneracy and immorality all around you, you come to a point where you don't even hate it in your heart anymore. So this becomes a litmus test for us in this present day, in the modern age. When we are unwittingly exposed to immorality in the workplace or in society, do we feel that bare minimum sensitivity of hating it in our heart? If we do not, then that means that our haya is getting broken down and weakened bit by bit. When a person loses haya, then they're going to do things that are displeasing to Allah and that dishonor themselves. And they will even, for some, reach a point where they publicize their sins. As the Prophet ﷺ says, all of my ummah are pardoned except for the mujahirun, the ones who publicize and announce their sins. They do their sins in secret. Allah conceals those sins from others. But then in the morning, they go and share what they did because they don't feel shame. In fact, they get angry if you say that what they're doing is wrong. Who are you to judge me? Only God can judge me. Things like this. And that's a very curious statement. And you hear it in the society today. People say, you know, only God can judge me. That is a very frightening prospect. People say that as if it's a light statement. Only God can judge me. You want to be judged by God for what you're doing? I don't want to be judged by God for the haram that I do. I want to make tawbah and get rid of it. But they say this as if it's a light thing, as if it's some minor issue. So haya as a quality, a hallmark of Islam, has to be cultivated. It has to be preserved. And we have to be very wary of it becoming weakened by desensitization. Haya is a means of hayat. Modesty is a means of life. And without that haya, the heart becomes sick and lacks spiritual vitality. And that, I would argue, is one of the great challenges we have in the world today. It is the threat to religion, in my estimation, is not so much militant or aggressive atheism. That's not really the major threat to religion. The greatest threat to religion is indifference. That is the greatest threat to religion, where people just, they don't really care anymore. They do whatever. I live my life, you live your life. Don't judge me. Let me do what I want. So we have to be honest with ourselves when we talk about haya. We are in a time when we are constantly exposed to shamefulness. We are so exposed to it that we are desensitized to it. We have to be honest with ourselves. We are. We're disturbed the first time we see it, and the second time, and the third time. But over time, we get used to it. It becomes normalized. So the attitude becomes, what's the big deal? Who am I hurting? Is that person hurting anyone? So instead of seeking the pleasure of Allah, the ultimate and only moral standard in society becomes, you do whatever you want to do as long as you're not hurting anyone else. That becomes the ultimate moral standard. So once the heart is no longer disturbed, that's a serious wake-up call that illness is taking root. And this will affect the rest of the iman, because the Prophet ﷺ mentions haya as a shu'aba of iman, a branch of faith. And without haya, when the heart becomes desensitized, the person can no longer focus in prayer. They won't be able to cry in dua when they ask Allah. Shamelessness and filth will take over and deaden the heart. But if the person feels this sensitivity, they're not happy with what they see and what they're exposed to. They feel bad about it. That is a sign that there is life in the heart still, alhamdulillah. And we have to ask Allah to increase us in that haya, so that it shapes how we speak, what we speak about, how we carry ourselves in public, the things we engage in, the things we look at, the things we consume. We have to ask Allah to increase us in that haya, because the person who has haya is promised Jannah. It is the promise of Jannah for the person who has this quality of modesty. Imam Tirmidhi records a hadith from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-haya min al-iman, wal-iman fil-jannah, wal-bada'atu min al-jafa' wal-jafa'u fil-nar. He says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, modesty is from iman, and iman is in paradise, while shamelessness is from meanness, and meanness is in the hellfire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, Al-haya la ya'ti illa bi khair. Haya only brings good. And this is the cultivated modesty that you work for, not your natural shyness and introversion. If you are naturally introverted, this virtue will be easier for you than if you are extroverted. But all of us are facing the threat of losing iman if we are surrounded by degeneracy and we don't hate it in our heart at the very least. So you have to actively fight to keep that haya and to cultivate it in your life and how you speak and carry yourself. Otherwise, you are at great risk of it being lost altogether. And when it's lost, everything is lost. May Allah Ta'ala give us haya in our statements, in our actions, in our bearing, and revive it within our hearts. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.